And behold, a leper came to him and adored him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus works two of his most memorable miracles today in the gospel. The leper was healed of leprosy, and the Roman centurion obtains a miracle for his puer, which is boy, sometimes translated as boy, sometimes as servant. But in the gospel, if you notice in other times of the gospel, some people approach Jesus begging for miracles. Some people approach him kind of cajoling him, like the Syrophoenician woman. But today, I think, is the most humble approach of anybody in the gospel, because he comes before Jesus, this leper. And if you remember, leprosy is, it's a rotting of your skin. Your skin is rotting off of your body. So he's not allowed by the Jewish law to be anywhere near all the rest of the people. In fact, St. Jerome talks about how he couldn't go to the Sermon on the Mount because of his leprosy, and Jesus was the first he heals after that. So in other words, what he's saying is, everything that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, on being merciful to the outcasts, he lives out immediately in healing this man. But how does this man approach him? Notice, first of all, before he even humbly asks, it says he bowed down and adored. The word in Greek is prosukonoi, which is, prosekune, which means to both to bow down and to adore at the same time. And it uses that one verb. So here this leper, even before he looks to be healed, he knows Jesus is God. He knows he's worth adoring. And so he bows down and he worships him. And he simply says, I can't think of anything this humble in the gospel for anyone who asks. He simply says, if you will it, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will it, be clean. And immediately he's clean. I usually don't title a homily, but I'm going to title today's America, Adoration and Healing. I'm going to title today's homily, America, Adoration and Healing. And we have our own leprosy. The number one healing we need in this country right now is the end of abortion. Today, we begin our 45th year of legal child sacrifice in this country, as today is the 44th anniversary of 59 million children dead by surgical, not including chemical. 59 million children dead. That is more than Hitler ever killed. I looked at the post-election lists of what was important to Republicans and Democrats, and it had the top five. You know, abortion wasn't on either of those. Healthcare made the list for both, but on neither of those was abortion listed. And yet today, January 22nd, is the memorial of what happened 44 years ago in 1973, when we decided we would make abortion safer and legal, and 59 million children later, real children, with names that God had planned, with lives that he had planned, not just numbers, have been slaughtered. A parishioner here sent me a quote from a well-known traditional Latin Mass priest who preached recently on what abortion really is. It's kind of a gruesome quote, but I'm going to speak it because we have to talk about this in this country. This bloodbath, the oceans of blood that are clotted with the shredded limbs and mangled bodies of the roughly 59 million babies that have been cut down by surgical abortion in the United States, roto-rooted and salt-cured out of our carefully laid priorities, the torn bodies of our 59 million little brothers and sisters, sacrificed to lust on the federally protected altars of Satan. Their little torn bodies floating and bobbing in the bloody tides of this culture of death. End quote. Here's the six things that President Trump promises us, according to LifeSite News. One, to appoint pro-life judges. Two, to defund Planned Parenthood. Three, that Christians can trust Trump to defend traditional marriage. Four, to defend religious liberty. Five, to repeal the Johnson Amendment. And six, to repeal Obamacare. Now, these are all good things, don't get me wrong. But I want to sidetrack for a minute. Imagine you're in Sanctifying Grace and you're tempted with a venial sin. We're going to see where this comes back around to the things I just named. Imagine you're in Sanctifying Grace, you're tempted with a venial sin. Second piece of cake, a third beer, a little bit of a gossip about somebody, whatever it happens to be. We're not talking about a mortal sin, we're talking about a venial sin. And you feel this tug inside you to do that, even though you know it's wrong. Now, what is that tug? It's one of two things. It's either concupiscence, which is what the Catholic Church defines as our tendency towards sin even after baptism has washed away our original sin. Baptism washes away our original sin, but we still have this little tug to just do what's naughty, and that's called concupiscence. Or it could be a real demon. And we know there's 9 levels of the different choirs of angels. That means there's 9 different levels of the fallen demons in that surround us. Doesn't mean you're possessed by any means. We all have to face angels and we all have to face demons around us because we are in a populated world of God, angels, humans, animals, and plants. That's how God has made our earth. He didn't make himself, but the rest of those are creation. Now, think about this for a minute. If you face one demon for a single line of gossip, how is Trump going to do those 6 things I just named? Here's a man who's not in sanctifying grace, and he's going to end the greatest slaughter in the history of the world. Even if that's his intention, even if he's had a conversion, do you know what kind of demons he's going to face in this? We're not talking fallen demons. We're talking fallen seraphim like Satan will be trying to stop him. And even if he does sign it, do you know the confusion that is going to be kicked up in a country that has killed this many children to stop this? Where we are politically, this isn't just about keeping promises. It's about defeating a large amount of not just fallen demons, but fallen seraphim and fallen cherubim. With such power, you would die if you saw that. Now, they don't have that power, but they do have the power of confusion. They do have the power of distraction, and they do have the power of fear. Well, the good news is this. Today's gospel actually has the answer to this. And behold, a leper came to Jesus and adored him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Our country is not clean. It is very sick. The leper knows that healing will not come through persuasive words or fake friendship or even the right political manipulations. Our country will come to its healing when we start with adoration. St. Matthew tells us the leper knelt down and adored. He adored before he asked anything. He adored before he was healed. Adoration must come before healing in this country. So I'm glad that so many families here have committed to the 20 hours we have a month now for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Because this is what's going to do it more than any political involvement. And you can even go to adoration if there's a closer parish. That's fine. And I am excited for the prospect of what can happen at the political level to make our country different. I wouldn't be flying to Washington, D.C. in a few days if I didn't believe Washington had something to do with this. I do. I'm not saying everybody's called to be a monk. And I do have high hopes that something may change in this country. But our country needs you, too, behind all this. More than just posting pro-life stuff on Facebook, and I'm preaching against myself because I actually live with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And instead of maybe posting so many pro-life things on Facebook, I could go spend more time in adoration with him. I think it's Father Pavone who says, every time that a perpetual adoration chapel is opened, an abortion clinic closes. One more thing. I just want to encourage everyone to maybe make some more daily masses to end abortion, whether it's here or somewhere else. Because those 6 promises we just heard, I think most people in this chapel want that to happen. I think most people in this chapel today believe that when I say the words of consecration, the bread becomes the body of Jesus, the wine becomes the blood of Jesus. But did you ever wonder why we actually say the Mass is a sacrifice? I talked to a lot of young people around the country, and many of them now believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. But very few of the young people I say ever say the words, holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's okay, they're learning. But I want to teach you too. It's good that people recognize Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. But I want to tell you what the sacrifice has to do with where we are in our country right now. St. Gregory Nazianzen in the 6th century, and notice he's actually an Eastern saint, so this isn't just a Western idea. East and West both hold that here's why we hold this, the Mass to be a sacrifice. Follow these words closely because they're very interesting and challenging. He says, the priest sunders with unbloody cut the body and blood of the Lord, using his voice as a sword. I'll say that again. When I'm at the altar there and I say the words of consecration in Latin, or any priest who says it in the vernacular, the priest sunders with unbloody cut the body and blood of the Lord, using his voice as a sword. What that means is, I separate the body and the blood of the Lord. That's why there's a double consecration. That's why the bread becomes the body of Jesus. That's why the wine becomes the blood. In that separation is death, if you think about it. When body and blood are separated, that is death. Now, at the comixio, when I say, hey, comixio, and you see me take that host and make the sign of the cross, and I drop that host in the chalice, that's where the body comes back into contact with the blood of Jesus, which constitutes the very resurrection of Jesus, when he, by his own power, brought his blood back in union with his body. So you don't just receive the crucified body of Jesus, you receive the crucified and risen body of Jesus, and his blood, even if you only receive the host, as you do at the Latin Mass. The body is literally put back into contact with the blood, like when Jesus rose from the dead, and all the blood that had drained from him in the scourging at the pillar and the crucifixion, he put back inside of him by his own power. Body and blood together is life. Body and blood separated is death. Most unborn babies die by being ripped apart, their body and blood being separated. There are certain exceptions, like saline abortions. But the innocent body of a baby is separated from the innocent blood of a baby. In fact, the only innocent separation of body and blood, or the only separation of body and blood more innocent than what happens in an abortion clinic, is what happens on this altar. The separation of the body and the blood of the Son of God. Here's the difference. Abortion is done against somebody. In the Mass, it's self-immolation, which means Jesus is doing it for us. He, through the priest, is separating body and blood so that no more babies have to be undergoing the separation of their body and blood. And this is why the Holy Mass is the most powerful thing you can do to change our country. More than voting, more than anything, attending some more daily Masses. Because when you come here, you are begging Jesus, let this be the only separation of the body and blood in this country anymore. As I said, the only separation of body and blood more innocent than what is happening in the clinics around this land is what happens on this altar. This is why only a sacrifice as boundless and as blameless as the holy sacrifice of the Mass can make reparation. That means to repair, can make reparation for the sins of our country. Abortion is a satanic child sacrifice, and the only way to make reparation is more Masses. Also, when we go from Calvary, because see, at Mass, this isn't just a remembrance of Calvary. At Mass, Calvary is represented. It's like we take a time machine all the way to Jesus' execution. And this is why when we go to Mass, we are given the strength, as some of us are called to do, to go pray at abortion clinics. And what happens at the abortion clinic? Remember how Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of my people, you do to me? That means Christ is dying again in the abortion clinic. That means we go as John, arm in arm with Mary, to the execution of Christ again in the unborn of this country. We don't go to protest. We don't go to hoot and holler. We don't go to harass. We go as John, arm in arm with Mary, to the abortion clinic to pray at Calvary. What did John do? Nothing. He stayed. He standed. He stood. And he prayed in solidarity. So we go from the Calvary of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to the Calvary of Christ crucified again in the unborn. If you want to repair this country, go to adoration. We have 6 hours a week now. If you want to repair this country, go to more daily Masses. And please also realize that when we go to Mass, we're called to active participation. That actually was not a line first quoted in Vatican II, but by Pope St. Pius X. And by active participation, Pope St. Pius X didn't mean go give everybody the sign of peace that you see. He didn't mean clapping. He didn't mean banners. By active participation, he meant being engaged in your mind and your heart as much as you can at Mass. This is why I put these things back here, the readings, so that if you don't have a missal, you can always follow along. Because, I mean, at least for the Mass of the catechumens, this is probably your best way to follow along, so you kind of know what's going on. Unless you're in the unitive stage of prayer, you probably need something, at least for the first half of the Mass, to really be able to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. Please come to adoration if you want to see those six things promised by President Trump happen in this country. Just like the leper in today's gospel, before the healing happens, he must recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he must adore. And in the humility of his request, Jesus says, "Be healed." That is my prayer for our country. Just like the leper who falls on today's memorial of Roe v. Wade, today, January 22nd, 44 years after this decision was made, the most bloody decision in history, we can only rely on God. The collect of today's Mass. O Almighty and everlasting God, look mercifully upon our weakness and stretch forth the right hand of thy majesty to protect us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.